We're doing a class on the Jewish home. And we discussed last week that part of the loyalty and the dedication we're supposed to have in a marriage is that if there's a conversation going on at the table and she says, Neil Diamond was the first one to go on the moon. And you're thinking it was Neil Armstrong. Neil Diamond was far. We've been traveling far without a home but not without a star. And you're not going to correct her because it really doesn't matter. And when she says, it was Hamlet who said a pound of flesh, you don't have to discuss whether it was Shylock or Hamlet. It really doesn't matter. And if you prick me, do I not bleed? It really doesn't matter if she says it was Caesar that said, or Brutus, and you realize it was the Merchant of Venice. That doesn't matter. So she can say, yeah, Caesar said, if you prick me, do I not bleed? Just before Brutus killed him. And you're thinking, no, he didn't. Et tu, Brute, then fall Caesar. That was Caesar. But you're not going to correct her, because it really doesn't matter. And I don't care if you're a Shakespearean philosopher with a doctorate in Shakespeare, it really doesn't matter. So on these points, there's really no reason to correct her. And if she quotes the Pasuk in Mishle and says, Daga belevish yesichena, and you know that the verse says yashchena, and it is the rabbinic interpretation of yesichena, you don't correct her. It doesn't matter. It does matter, but nothing will happen if she gets it wrong. And when she tells your kids, so there were five or six shepherds waiting at the well when Jacob came to the well, and you remember it says, there were three flocks of sheep there. Does it matter? Oh yes, Kabbalistically it matters. In your conversation it doesn't matter. So there's no reason to correct her. But what happens when there is? And what happens when the conversation is very important? And what happens when she's arguing with your landlord and she's saying, we agreed the rent this year is going to be 3,000, and you remember clearly you agreed it's 3,500. So at that point, you don't have to fight her. But before we go on to that point, let me tell you a true story. A couple goes to a store, and they're looking at a kitchen table. And true story, I was there when it happened. They're looking at the kitchen table, and they ask the guy in the secondhand store, how much is this table? And the guy says, that table will be 250 shekel. And the couple say, does that include delivery? And he says, no, where do you live? They tell him, he says, that'll be another 75 shekel. So the couple turn around to walk out, and the seller asks them, how much do you want to give for the table? And they turn around, they look at the seller, and they say, the husband's about to say something when the wife says to the seller, for 25 shekel, we'll take it. And I see the husband feeling like, come on, why are you doing this to me? So the seller offers it at 250, and she offers 25, and the seller says, for 75, it's yours. Who would have thought? So sometimes, there's really no reason. You think it's ridiculous what she's saying. That doesn't mean she won't get it. And I've seen this happen over and over and over again, where husbands thought their wives were off their rocker because they asked something extreme, and the wife got what she wanted. I saw a couple standing at they were buying a vehicle that was that can't ride on the streets. You know, like one of those vehicles you ride in the hills and stuff like that. You can't legally ride them on the streets. And they were standing there buying it, discussing it with the seller. And the wife, I hear the wife telling the husband, transporting this vehicle, just bringing it home, getting a special tractor trailer that'll bring it, will cost us 1,000 shekel. But this is the one we want. She turns to the seller and tells him, you want 20,000 shekel for this car, but that has to include delivery. Now, she had just told her husband, this is a steal. The price is ridiculously cheap. This is exactly what we wanted. And of course, we should pay the 1,000 shekel for delivering it. But she looks the seller in the eye and says, you mean including delivery? And the seller says, I guess if you had a little bit, like 100, 125 shekel to cover my gas, I'll deliver it. Boom, she just saved them 1,000 shekel. And I've seen this happen again and again and again, where men think what their wife said is ridiculous, and sometimes, hold your horses. If you're going to respect her, so that means that if she said something so ridiculous, nothing terrible happened. It's not the end of the world. So I was there when a couple walked into a baker, and the baker said, "You guys are nice." So he offered them free cookies. And then the wife said, "Can we take free donuts also?" And the baker said, "Nothing's for free." Because he felt they were being piggish. He gave them this much for free. And the wife tried to get 10 times as much for free. So the baker said, "Forget it. Regular price." I'm not saying the wife, you won't be in scenarios where it backfires. But so what? So you'll pay the 20 shekel. It's not worth your shalom bias. Respect her, and your first loyalty is to her. And even if you disagree with her, it's done. She said it. There's no point in making an issue out of it. And again, sometimes you'll be surprised she'll get what she wanted. But what happens when you think she's wrong? What happens when you think she's ethically wrong? Couple gets married, and her parents say, "Here's the credit card. You guys pay the band with this credit card." And then the husband goes and takes that credit card and goes out on a buying spree and spends 2,000 shekel on his in-law's credit card. Now that's, they never gave him approval to use it for his buying spree. They told him they could use it to pay the band for the wedding. And they never took back the credit card, so on the second day of Sheva Brachos, he goes and spends 2,000 shekel buying himself new clothing on his in-law's credit card. His wife looks at it and says, "I'm sorry, I don't think that's fair." So this is a touchy subject because she's siding with her parents. But when we see our spouse doing something that's not ethical, so we're out of time, we're going to pick up with this next time, we don't always have the right to turn a blind eye. How we bring it up and what we say, we'll just say the opening line, and that is that the opening line is not to be accusatory. The opening line is to ask an innocent question. And you'll be surprised how often that innocent question opens up a whole new world before us. Imagine if the wife tells her husband, "Don't you think that's stealing?" You can imagine that that wouldn't lead to such good feelings between them. But what would happen if the wife would say, "You know, I'm not sure if my parents meant that when they gave us the credit card." What would happen if she'd say it gently without accusing? Perhaps he would tell her, no, "Your father at the end of the wedding told me that he's giving me a credit of 10,000 shekel. I should buy whatever we want during the Sheva Brachos. That's his wedding gift to us. I thought I told you." And then the wife would say, "Oh, I forgot." That could happen. Before we accuse, even when things seem really wrong, the first step is to ask a question. To ask a question, non-assuming, non-threatening, non-accusatory, a real question. And to try and understand the other person, because very often there's a piece of the puzzle that we're missing. And if there isn't a piece of the puzzle, if we've said it non-accusatory, sometimes the other side will realize there's a piece of the puzzle they're missing. But if the reason we very often end up in fights in such scenarios is because we come head on. And there's no reason for that. There's no excuse for that. The fact that you think it's dead wrong doesn't mean you shouldn't ask. So that's step one, to be continued, Mizrachim.